You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
Burgundy and Go. You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm your host, Wally Ray Jeezy, and Will T are out. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this, but let's get into our tradition, the pregame. I remixed that one. Co-host and reporter for Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus, Donna Hopkins, will join me to talk about the skin signing the DRC and Eric Flowers and re-signing Adrian Peterson and a lot more. Finally, we'll feature our listener segment, That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. But first, right now, I have co-host and reporter for Tony McGee's Pro Football Focus, Donna Hopkins, on the line. What's up, Donna?
What's up, Wally? Glad to be back with you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You know, it's about that time. It's March Madness. Are you all into the madness?
You know that I am. Right now, I tell people that I am a basketball junkie, and I don't want anybody bothering me. It's almost like it's basketball time right now. So I'm eating it, sleeping it, drinking it.
Other than March Madness, what's going on with you? What have you been up to? Cool projects or whatnot? What's up?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of traveling, public speaking, with my book that came out last year. I'm still promoting that, still moving and shaking with that. Been doing a lot of out-of-town speaking engagements for the business community and just back at my college doing some work back there with them. So been pretty busy with that. And then I'm covering track and field for the MEAC.
Awesome.
So I did the indoors championship up here at the Sports Complex Center. And then soon the outdoor season will be in May. So probably will be traveling down that way to cover for them, for the MEAC. So love track. I ran track in college. So between the basketball and the track, I'm loving it right now.
I went to HBCU. I went to a MEAC school. How did UMES do? That's the school I went to.
What? Say that again.
I went to a UMES. How did they do?
North Carolina A&T was the college to watch.
Okay.
They pretty much dominated, and Norfolk State, they did good because they had a runner there that ran the 800, Martha Beeson. She kind of like ran that, and then they had the championship the other week for the NCAA Divisional II. So, I mean, they've got great runners. They've got one girl from A&T who set the record for the world in the let's just say she has the best time in the 200 right now. And so the historical black schools are making some noise. They've got some great runners there and great coach there at A&T that's doing a great job with that program.
That's great. That's great. So this show's called All Skins Everything. So we got to talk skins. We got to do skins talks.
Yes, because a lot has been happening.
Exactly. All right. So the Washington Redskins signed cornerback Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie to a 1-year contract. What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts on that signing?
Cromartie, I was like, really? I'm like, you really did not address the real issue of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they took him, but the only good thing is they didn't really have to lose draft picks or give up a lot of money to sign him. It was almost like an even swap.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really understand why they selected him still, because that still does not address the real need as far as who is your future quarterback. I'm still looking at the draft for the quarterback, because you know that Alex Smith more than likely will not be back. And then the people that they have on the roster right now, I don't believe that those are the quarterbacks of the future. You need to really be focusing on the draft and getting a quarterback, because there's a lot of good quarterbacks coming out the draft this year.
What quarterback do you have in mind? Is there a particular quarterback that you have in mind?
Well, the ones that I'm thinking about that would really be great for the Redskins, they'll be gone by the time the Redskins pick. So right now, they've got to look down in the draft for maybe who's going to be available. Mm-hmm. And there's still question marks about if the Redskins are going to still pick a quarterback. And now, right now, that word is they're looking at Ohio State's quarterback, Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to be there at the 15 pick for the Redskins. So I mean, you're looking there. I mean, I would like the Oklahoma quarterback.
You and Lake. Lake said the same thing. You and Lake.
I mean, that's the one. That's the one I'm looking at. I'm thinking like, hey, but that's like I said, he's going to be more than likely gone by the time the Redskins pick. So you almost have to be in position to say, who's next? And the quarterback from Ohio State, some great things has been said about him. Pro-style offense he ran, which is a good thing because you want somebody coming in comfortable, but that doesn't say anything because other people have ran a pro-style offense, and that doesn't mean that you come in and you are going to be successful because that's a whole different ball game from college to the pros. But I still like the fact that he does understand the scope of, you know, the pro offense and how to run that. Now it's just, getting the offensive line that will be able to protect whoever they get in here at the quarterback. And that's the real issue right there.
No, I agree. I actually, I'm actually a big fan of Dwayne Haskins. He's a guy that I'm a Michigan fan in terms of Michigan football. I'm a big fan of Michigan. And the defense that we put out this season, he torched them. And for 2 years, I mean, he played – as a freshman, he played Michigan in the Big House where the quarterback went down, and he torched him that year too. I'm a big believer in him. Now, I hate Ohio State, but that's one Ohio State player that I tend to give credit to. Like, I think that if the Redskins are lucky, if luckily he falls to the 15th pick, the Skins should take him. Like, they should grab him ASAP.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is you would think that the quarterback position was what the Redskins are going to be looking to draft with that first pick, but you just never know. When it comes draft time, who's going to be available at that 15 slot? And even if it's a quarterback, are they looking to draft a quarterback? Do they still think that that's the need with what they've got right there on the team? Mm-hmm. And I would say that they would be crazy if they didn't go after a quarterback because, you know, each year on the draft, you can't look at the fact that a good quarterback is going to be high in the draft because, to me, this year is like the quarterback. If you're going to look for a quarterback, this will be the year because you got five or six quarterbacks that's coming out that's really good.
Yeah, it's going to be up to Jay Gruden, obviously. It's whoever Jay – well, this could be Jay's last season. It could be. But, you know, it's up to Jay Gruden to see which kind of quarterback he can work with and he's comfortable with. I've watched them all. You know, it's funny because I think next year, if the Skins wanted to tank it, I think next year's class would be way better than this year's class. But you know, it's all for Jay. It's all about now. You know, he has to get a quarterback that he believes that can win. Now, if it's in this draft, there's only one quarterback. There's a couple quarterbacks I think. No, for Jay, there's one quarterback I think that he can win with, and that, in my opinion, that would be Dwayne Haskins. I'm not a fan of Kyler Murray with Jay Gruden. With somebody else, yes. But with Jay Gruden, I'm not sure if Jay can work with a Kyler Murray because of he had a quarterback, Griffin. I don't like to call him RG3. Griffin, who has similar skill sets in terms of running the football and throwing the football, and he couldn't really coach him up. And he tends to go with a particular style of quarterback that I've seen Jay Gruden play with. I've never seen him be efficient or effective with a dual threat quarterback, like even Josh Johnson, who had a good stretch, but he wasn't electric with Jay Gruden or RG3 or Griffin wasn't electric with Jay Gruden. So I'm not sure if Kyler Murray could be electric with Jay Gruden.
Well, but I was looking at next year too, when you talk about next year and the quarterback class is going to be coming out. The thing about it is the Redskins probably won't have a high draft pick to get one of those quarterbacks either.
That's true.
So
that
you
is so true.
Go with what you can right now.
That's true.
So, but like you said, the thing about Coach Gruden and his offense and the quarterbacks that come here, they've got to get somebody that can escape the pocket and be a pocket passer And then I think that his offense needs to get better as far as they don't go downfield. Mm-hmm. And it, no matter what quarterback you got in there, you got to have a you got to be able to put together a scheme offensively to throw the ball more than 10 or 15 yards, but get it downfield throughout the course of a game. So you're right. Possibly that he couldn't coach that person that's coming in there, that type of quarterback. But look, Russ Wilson and Mahomes and mm-hmm. somebody like that that can move the offense and when the pass rush down and all of those things, mm-hmm. then you're going to have somebody that's going to be able to move outside the pocket and make some plays with their feet. So they've got to be smart with that, too. And like you said, this is Coach Gruden's possibly last year if they don't win. So mm-hmm. I would want to bring in somebody that possibly can take you to that level. But I still think that no matter who they bring in as far as the quarterback, if they don't secure and make the offensive line better, they're going to get killed. And if they don't run the ball, they're going to get killed. So they've got to be able to have some balance there. And I'm glad that AP is back.
All right, speaking of AP, so you brought it up. Adrian Peterson signed a 2-year deal worth $8 million. I know you're happy about it, but what does that mean for Darius Geis?
Well, I think it doesn't mean anything because I think the Redskins know that Darius Geis has been a guy that's been injured. I mean, out of college, into the pros, he's been injured. So you want to have a solid person like Adrian Peterson, and you know that he has some gas still in the tank, so you know that he can get it done, and you don't have to depend on Geis right off the bat getting in there and having to push so hard. So you can use both of them in this offense. And then the thing about it is they're different style running backs, too. You got a quicker, younger guy right there that can, you know, you saw some flashes of greatness before he got hurt. And then you got a solid veteran in AP. So I think that if they use those two guys right, they could have an explosive backfield again because you need two really solid backs. And you know the Redskins really don't focus on one back being this is your mm-hmm. your main back. They have, since Gruden's been here, he's used various backs in his offense. So I think that it's a good mix-up of both of these two guys being together. I do like that mixture, and I think that it's only going to make Geis a better NFL player having our Adrian Peterson here.
So how do you think they'll work it out in terms of who will be like the feature back initially? Well, do you think that, you know, Geis will be featured first, or would it be AP featured, and then towards the end of the season or towards the midpoint of the season they'll flip it around and have Geis being featured more? And how does Chris Thompson play a role with that?
Well, Geis probably will be your feature back because they're not going to, you know, they're not going to give him. I mean, they drafted him to be that last year before he got hurt. So I think that he has a skill set that AP does not have. I mean, so, you know, some just his quickness and the way he can explode through the lanes and everything. I think he adds a different dimension to that offense. And I think, but I don't think that it's going to be one feature. I think that he's going to get the ball a little bit, mm-hmm. and then you're going to see AP get the ball some. So it before and the thing about it is they only run the ball like 20 times. So it's bad.
They need to run more.
It's bad. So I would like to see them run it about 30 or so.
I agree.
And then you can put it in the 15 here, 15 there. But I think it's depending on what you're going to see. And this is the thing I really like to be able to see is have both of them in the backfield.
That would be awesome.
Because this is the thing. You can use them as the back coming at the backfield. And basically, that would be another receiver, another twist to your offense. I like to see that sometimes where you have both of them back there. And you just have to make sure that you get the blocking from them because you're giving up probably a tight end in there at times, but you're giving the offense another weapon by this guy is the runner, and then maybe he's going to block, and then this guy coming out the backfield at your back catching the ball. That is what they used to do with the old Joe Gibbs, mm-hmm. is having two backs back there. And what an offense explosion that they had with running, you know, coming that, having those two backs come out the backfield. So that's how I like to see them utilize those two guys at times.
I mean, that would be amazing. I mean, it would be even cool to see all three of them, having Chris Thompson, Darius Geis, and AP.
So when you look at the backfield for the Redskins right now, this is probably the first time, you know, when you look at them that you say, wow, we got three solid backs.
Yeah, agree. I agree.
Because when you look at all the other guys, Rob Kelly and all those guys,
they were nice guys
before then, the thing about it is that they were okay.
Yeah, they were
but
nice
they
guys.
They weren't no AP guys. And, you know,
I agree. I call them nice guys.
Right now,
that's what I call them. Call them nice guys.
So this is like, the first time that I'm excited about the backfield, because it's the first time that they had, like, you would say, wow, they really got some guys back there that can make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
That is just for Gruden to utilize the backfield, because he is not a running style coach. He's like pass, short pass, whatever. But to really be successful, they need to utilize that backfield. So I think it's a plus right there with the backfield. They're set right there. So now we just move to the wide receiver position, where they need a lot of help there. But because look who they lost.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, we saw they lost. They lost
Crowder.
Crowder
is gone.
Yeah,
Crowder is gone. He was to me, your fastest back, your most consistent one,
mm-hmm.
when he wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
Richardson was hurt last year. And Crowder, to me, was a little more bigger. And I mean, they both are fast, but you lose somebody like that and you haven't gotten anybody to replace. And Dotson, we already know that he can stay healthy or else he just disappears in games.
Yeah, he disappears. It's just keeping 100. He disappears. He's a guy that you see potential, you see flashes, but he's not consistent and he disappears. And I've been a Dotson supporter, but you know, sometimes you just got to wake up and just see it for what it is. That man has to,
and that's on
that man. That man has to be motivated enough to be better than what he is. And a lot of times you got to be better in the offseason. Like, I'm sure you know Gary Clark or whatnot, and I'm sure he said this. Like, you would do all your work in the offseason, and you got to improve in the offseason. And that's something that you have to have the desire and the hunger and the dog to want to be better. Because if I was a guy like, and I've always said this, if I was a guy like Dotson, right, and I haven't really performed to the level I thought I could be at, you know, I'm calling up wide receivers like AJ Green or Julio Jones and say, you know what, can I work with you? Like, I want to see what
and
you could do.
And you're getting with a quarterback.
Exactly.
With a quarterback or whatever. But see, because the thing about it is whether you haven't improved or you're improved or whatever, to me, you should always be trying to perfect your craft, because I think that everybody can perfect their craft.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go up at the road to the end of my neighborhood where they had a basketball court, rode the bike up there, the ball under my arm. Every summer and whatever, I didn't put it up on anybody else to push me.
Mm-hmm.
I pushed myself to say, I need to get better. I need to work on this.
Of course.
And you know, so that's something that Dotson, when he looks at himself, he should say, hey, these are some areas that I need to get better. And it's too many wide receivers and too many people right here in the D.C. area that he can connect with.
Of course.
Or go down to Florida or Arizona to some of those places where people train.
Yes, definitely. Oh, you're so right. But to the point what you just said, you're so right. There's so many great all-time Redskin wide receivers that he can link up with and just ask, you know, how can I be great?
Yeah.
It's a Hall of Famer here.
Exactly. Right, and that tells you that if you don't, I mean, because I've seen other players that were on the Redskins roster in previous years and even now,
mm-hmm.
that they linked up with the Daryl Green,
exactly.
the cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
D'Angelo Hall used to link up with Daryl, and some of the other cornerbacks used to link up with him during the summer, and they worked, you know, and I mean, footwork and all the other necessary things to make you better. I mean, it takes some initiative, and I think that's what Gary Clark talks about, is it takes some initiative on the player's part.
Of course.
Coaches can only coach, but you're the player is the one who has to go out there and put it together on the field. So if you look at films, and that's one thing I liked about DJ Swearinger.
Yeah.
Like him or not, this was a guy that was in the film room really studying what was going on. And then speaking of that, you know, getting the safety from the Giants.
Landon Collins.
Collins to me, that is your top pick right now.
Yeah.
That a free agency.
Yeah.
Because he was a player that the Redskins wanted when he was drafted.
Yeah.
And the Giants got him before the Redskins had the opportunity. And he's a young player. You know that he can play. He's aggressive. And the Redskins in the secondary, that is the area that they desperately needed to get some players. Because they lost DJ Swearinger. Nicholson, we don't know what's going to happen with him.
Yeah.
So that was two of your main guys that are, one is gone and one is a question mark. So you needed to have secured that safety position with a guy like Collins. And, I mean, I can't say anything more about the fact that that was a good pick. That was good.
No, that's a very good pick. And now they're talking about, we just talked about the DRC, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and they're talking about moving him to free safety to maybe play alongside of Landon Collins, which I'm not a big fan of. I don't like the changing one's position to play another one, because a lot of people aren't, you know, Charles Woodson or Rob Woodson, who played cornerback at a high level.
And then
you can move him to safety. D-Hall, they try to do it with D-Hall. D-Hall, I mean, as much as everyone loves D-Hall, D-Hall was a really good cornerback, but he wasn't a great safety. You know, they tried to switch him to safety. He wasn't a great safety. Everybody is not Rod Woodson or Charles Woodson. No, you can't make making that transition is not easy. So I would just like this team.
The Redskins can't afford to do that, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Really looking at it, they can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
They need to leave because they don't have room for error. They don't have room for, let me try this guy out over here when he should be over on the left side. Mm-hmm. You got the right side. You don't have room to have anything go wrong because your defense suffered last year anyway.
Agreed.
So you need to keep the players in the positions they played. I mean, I know some of the guys played left and right side, mm-hmm. tackle and all those, mm-hmm. some of the ones they drafted. But if you were a true corner over on the left side, then you need to stay over on the left mm-hmm. side, and then you need to draft somebody or find somebody that plays on the other side. You know, so I'm like you. I don't think that you should toy with some things, because in the secondary right now, the Redskins, and they, you know, they're looking. They've got to do linebacker. They got to get another safety, and I believe they got to get a corner. And the thing, you know, we got half of Alabama on the team anyway.
Yeah, that's a good thing, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is anybody else out there, you know? So I still think that they're in trouble right there if they start toying with moving people out of their true position.
You're listening to All Skins, everything with the urban sports scene. Right now I'm rapping with co-host and reporter for Tony McGee's Pro Football Focus, Donna Hopkins. The Redskins, also, you mentioned the offensive line. You're talking about improving the offensive line. The Redskins signed tackle Eric Flowers, who was a bust with the Giants and went to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
To a one-year
and
deal.
And Jacksonville.
You know, but he's getting, but he's to a one-year deal, and talks, too, are about him moving to guard, to play some guard, too, while, and also playing tackle, being a swing tackle guard position, because they lost Ty Ntseki to the Buffalo Bills.
Wow, and that was a big loss.
Mm-hmm. So your thoughts about, you know, the signing of Eric Flowers and the loss of Ty Ntseki?
Yeah, well, like I said, Ty, that was a big loss for the Redskins, because I think that he was one of the mainstays. I think that he had, you know, a great year. And we forget that Sheriff was out last year, so he'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back.
You know, from the injury. So I think that if they had Sheriff last year, they would have been a little better on the offensive line as far as the depth. But we know that the Redskins get hammered every year on the offensive line by injury. It's the last 3 years. So that's another area that they really need to secure solid offensive linemen, because the people that they picked up last year after all those injuries, they wouldn't even play for off the street. They wouldn't even play for half of the team, most of the team. They wouldn't. But Flyers, I mean, this is a guy, like you say, he was a bust in New York, and then Jacksonville, they signed him. I'm not sure how great he was even there, and he still could be coming in on his own. I mean, they've given him opportunity because I guess they look at him because he can play the left and the right tackle position, mm-hmm. which is great because the Redskins can, if anybody gets hurt,
they
can put him in either on the right or the left side. So that's what I like. If you're going to look at offensive linemen, I like to draft offensive linemen that can play the left and the right guard position, and maybe even some, you know, maybe even some guard. But I think that you know, you got your tackles already secure on both sides. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why they want to move him to guard. Now, how good a guard would he be? This is a question mark.
Yeah.
You know, right now with them picking him and then not allowing him again to play his true position. You're trying to, you know, he was a bust with the Giants. So right now you're hoping to that he can gel as a guard. So you got still a big question mark. Can he? And again, the Redskins can't afford to take chances on the maybes. They've got to have somebody come in here and they say, wow, this guy can play.
Exactly. That's my thing. You got to get a guy who can play, who's played a position. Now, I know you hear people, yeah. I hear talks that, you know, he's going to be working with Bill Callahan, who's done great work with Morgan Moses, Sheriff. I mean, Trent was always a beast anyway, so I'm not going to put it on Trent.
Yeah.
Sheriff has been good always to me, too. But he's worked with and Chase Roullier. So he's done well with other players and lesser players and made them better players. So, you know, having a guy like an Eric Flowers who hasn't reached his potential, but is a giant in terms of size and was highly touted, you know, from I believe he went to the U, highly touted yeah. coming out of the U. So he's a guy that has the physical ability to be good, but he doesn't have the technical game to be good. And hopefully working with Bill Callahan will work.
Yeah, and the thing about it is technique is everything.
Oh, it's everything. It's everything.
And the thing, too, is sometimes you know, if the shoe's supposed to go on the right foot, you can't force it on the left foot.
Agreed.
So this is the thing that you're looking at right here. Callahan, we know how great he is and what he's been able to do with players that he's developed. But the thing about it is, still, he's playing in a whole new position, and you wanted him to quickly come up to speed, and he struggled in his true position.
Yeah.
And he didn't even make it. But like you said, the upswing is that he's still young, and you'll be able to tell right quick, you know, if it's going to work out. And
yeah.
The Redskins don't have time for it to work out 6 weeks into the season. This has got to be somebody that they constantly see improvement with each week. But I still think that if an offensive lineman, if a guard is in the draft,
oh yeah,
and he's one of the top guards,
I'm with you.
You got to take that top guard.
Oh, I'm with you. See, my thought process has always been, I mean, I know everybody's fixated on the quarterbacks, and that's cool. I mean, quarterbacks are quarterbacks. But this team, the way they are constructed, because they don't have a number one wide receiver, so any quarterback that comes here is going to struggle because they're not going to be efficient
yep.
because they don't have, like you said, they don't have like that dude. They don't have that dog. But – if you do build your team a particular way, like you bring in the trenches, like you're talking about Joe Gibbs and how this team has
yeah.
always won in the trenches. If you draft with the 15th pick, if you got a guard that is like a monster, that's like a Brandon Sheriff. If another Brandon Sheriff is in this draft, right, and with that 15th pick, you should take him. Like you should take him, because at least you know that you have Adrian Peterson, you got Geist, you got Thompson. You can
yeah.
lean on those dudes to, you know, just like Jacksonville did to get to the AFC Championship game when they lost to New England. You got a good defense. You got nothing but Alabama folks, right? So you have you can have a good defense. You pair that off with a good running game, and you can at least be a playoff contender without having a solid quarterback. By God, the Jacksonville Jaguars had Blake Bortles for like a couple seasons. So I know
yeah.
like, you can win football games without having a solid quarterback.
Yeah, I think that let's just say that if the top offensive lineman is available at that 15 pick, at that first pick, I'm taking the offensive lineman over the quarterback.
Me too, exactly.
Because I believe that if you look at the success of teams that are solid
mm-hmm.
on their offensive and defensive line, they are normally in the playoffs.
I agree.
And they're normally solid.
They're solid.
So I think
mm-hmm.
that if you build those two areas and then the skill players, you can get those.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have those two, and the Redskins know, once again, they've been hammered two straight years with their offensive line being decimated with injuries. They barely had enough bodies to finish a season out.
Mm-hmm.
So if they draft the offensive line, and I think they're pretty good with the defensive line. I still like them to get pass rusher, a true, really
agree.
Pass rusher.
They need one of them. They need one.
And that's the only thing that they need on the defensive line. And then, like I said, Collins, they got him as the safety. I still think they need another corner. And as far as the linebacker, I think they need that. But I think that you really have to focus on your offensive line this year a lot. And I know that with Sheriff coming back, great. That's going to be great. Moses was on one leg for most of the time.
I know.
And he's a trooper. He was a trooper.
He's a soldier.
You know, he had to play because they had nobody else. And then Trent Williams, he was hurt. So, you know, you saw some signs right there of him getting beat from time to time. But they definitely need to get true guard, and they need to get another tackle, because these guys, you know, you soon have to insert some people there. And that's been your Achilles heel every year. That's the reason why Gruden probably is still here, because they're looking at how many injuries happened along the offensive line.
That is the stone cold reason why he's still here.
I just called it because that's what I heard. They said, well, they can't get rid of him because of all the injuries and everything. So, okay, so now you know that you need to draft offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally with you. That's the excuse for Jay Gruden, you know, the injuries. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I get it. He has been decimated. His teams have been decimated with injuries. Excuse me. But at the same time,
they lose their court. They lose two of their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
One, two.
Yeah, here's the worst luck.
The Redskins. the Redskins know that this year you better have three on the roster.
Yeah, you better have three. Like, you better have three. Yeah, you better have three quarterbacks who can play. Like, there's all this two quarterback. All this, you know, we're going to have two quarterbacks. We're only dressing two quarterbacks. That has to end. Like, three quarterbacks have to dress. Because the Skins are at the situation where it's now, and they have to, like, be prepared for everything. And Jay should have learned after that initial year when he got decimated with injuries. He should learn from that season to bring it on from last season. He needs to learn. Now it's to a point where he needs to have positions backed up upon backups. And after preseason, if you're going to keep particular players, you better believe that these players can play, rather than, you know, picking up players off the street. The guys you cut.
And like you said, mm-hmm. as far as some of the rookies that you signed and you put them on the development list and all that, those guys, you picked them for a reason. Mm-hmm. Those are ones that you need to work in developing. But right now the Redskins are in, you know, in a position where cap wise they don't have the money to really sign anybody that may be out there from another team that you see signing with these other teams. You're like, oh man, I wish I could have had him, but you don't have the money. So therefore you're going to have to be savvy in the draft this year. I mean, they've got enough picks that they can get some. Because we know that some of the late round picks are some of the better picks.
Yeah, definitely.
Those are the diamond in the rough.
Mm-hmm.
Versus some of those high draft picks on the front end. So the Redskins really have to be great in the draft this year, because they have some holes on that team that they have to plug if they've got a chance next year. And, you know, with the quarterback situation, it is what it is. But I think that if you shore yourself along the lines again, you can be a better team.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, Donna, before I let you go, first off, I want to know who you have winning the national championship in college basketball.
I'm like all those other people picking Duke, even though I don't want them to win. I'm telling you, I would love to have a person, one of those underdog teams win and everything. I'm for the underdog team. But, you know, you can't go against Duke or the North Carolinas,
I know.
As far as the Kentuckys and Virginias. You can't go, even the Michigans, you can't go against those teams because they've been, although Michigan State almost lost.
I know, they almost
did. In their first round game. But you got to give it to Duke. Now, the only thing I say about Duke is they can't hit that three-point
shot.
Yeah,
they can't. They can't.
And if they play a team that can hit that shot, I don't care how physical they are in the inside and whatever, they're going to be in trouble.
No, I agree.
So they've got to hit the three.
No, I'm with you on that.
Because look, a three is more than a two.
Darn right. They taught us that in elementary school in math.
Exactly.
You're so right about that. But Donna, thank you so much, and hope to have you on again soon.
Almost definitely. We got to do a show because I'm going to pick my draft and see where it lands and everything.
Oh, I would love to do that. That sounds good.
All right,
Donna. Thank you so much.
Sounds good, Wally.
All right, have a great one. Have a blessed one. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, that is the lovely Donna Hopkins, co-host and reporter for Tony McGee's Pro Football Focus. Make sure you check her out. She does great work. I mean, I love Donna. She's one of my favorite people. Anyway, it's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. See you after the break. Listen to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm your host, Wally. Will T and Ray are out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search All Skins Everything. Also, do the same for us on Google Play. Anyway, it's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. Anytime you feel like ranting about the Skins or you have a question, call us and leave us a voice message. Here's the number. It's 301-799-5407. You can also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We'll play your message on our show. Let's start with the first message.
The Washington Redskins need to grab that quarterback this year. All the talk of trading up a mortgage in the future, that's been done. This is Adam from the B&G Report. My prediction is Redskins will stamp hat at the 15th overall pick, and they might get lucky with a quarterback, but my prediction is second-round QB will be the option, maybe Greer, Finley, or somebody else, HTTR.
Oh, yeah, that's my boy Adam. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at The Band G Report. Again, at The Band G Report. Yeah, Adam, I agree with you. I don't think the Skins should take a quarterback in the first round or trade up, you know, to get a quarterback. Even though I like Dwayne Haskins, they shouldn't trade up. They can wait and get a quarterback in the second round. And I think, to be honest with you, I think Daniel Jones will be there in the second round if they want to choose him. I don't think Daniel Jones is a first round pick. So I'm with you, Adam. Definitely the Skins can wait and get a quarterback in the second round. All right, next message.
Hey, guys, what's going on? It's Nick from Redskins Hangover, the podcast. I wanted to throw this idea out to you. Now, I know some people were talking about having a wide receiver at the number 15 pick, and that's all fine and good, and I'm totally okay with going on the defensive side. But one idea I wanted to throw out to there is, look, Jordan Reed, he gets injured, and he can't block. So why is he down in the trenches? Why is he close to the scrum with the O-line and the D-line? I think what we need to do, since we're paying him slot receiver money, is we need to put him in the slot receiver position. I think you need to go out there, and with the number 15 pick, you need to get T.J. Hockenson out of Iowa, that tight end there. Look, he can block, he can catch, and it keeps Jordan Reed from maybe getting injured, all right? He gets off the cornerback. Then he can do those choice routes that he's so good at with Casey Keenum or Colt McCoy or Josh Johnson or whoever the hell's throwing him the ball. Anyway, just wanted to float that idea out to you guys. Thanks for taking my call on HTTR.
Well, all my folks on Twitter, that's my boy Nick. I feel touched. Make sure you follow Nick too at Skins Hangover again on Twitter at Skins Hangover. Nick, that is a new one. I actually kind of like that, moving Jordan Reed to the slot so he can run those choice routes and maybe drafting another tight end . I kind of like that. I mean, obviously the guy from Iowa, you know, is a guy who can block. And he can also, you know, he's a good pass catching tight end. So he's very versatile. But I doubt that the Skins will use that pick with the 15th pick. But that would be a good move, moving Jordan Reed to the slot. I think that would avoid injuries and him trying to be physical in terms of being a run blocking tight end. But who knows? Or, you know, a pass blocking tight end when he's not going out on routes. But again, I like the idea of having Jordan Reed as a slot receiver. I do like it. I'm not sure that, you know, Coach Gruden will take the necessary steps to do that. I'm not confident in Coach Gruden, but the idea is still sweet. It's innovative. You know, Skins fans, it's all they've been asking for, Jay Gruden, to be innovative. But I appreciate all your messages. This is really cool. Appreciate you, Adam and Nick. Hopefully, you know, you guys continue to, you know, leave a message and other folks can leave a message. Again, this segment is all about the people, Skins fans, to, you know, have their voice on it, you know, on this show. And we really appreciate it. Anyway, you've been listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Hopewell, Virginia, for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.